5, 4, 3. Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. I'm your host, Roger Z. Today in the studio, we have guitarist Matt Murphy from Stalking Sally, as you can see by that great t-shirt. How'd you come up with the name Stalking Sally?
It was just really, you know, a bunch of guys in the band putting a whole, you know, pages of different names and combinations and stuff, and literally having a meeting, just running down the list and going, you know, that's cool, let's go with that kind of
thing. Did you guys trademark it?
We did.
Good for you. Yeah. Who trademarked it in case the band splits up?
I guess, we kind of co-trademarked it. You know,
okay, so everybody's names on it?
Yeah.
Good, so there'll be lots of legal fees.
Actually, a friend of mine drew this, not for the band, but had it in a book of his drawings, this jester that he took from a bunch of different clowns and jesters, combined them into one. This was in a book. I was slipping through it. I was just like, you know, wow, that's cool. And the next thing you know, we found the band name. It was like, this is going to be, you know, the band's logo. And it scares a few people off, but it also is pretty rememberable.
Well, like we were talking, I'm going to be reviewing your CD for the Westchester Weekly, More Sugar. And I've started listening to it. I like to live with them for a while. Now, do you write all the material?
No, not all the songs. I write a lot of the melodies, you know, most of the music, I would say. Some of the lyrics, you know, the singer writes some of the lyrics, and also our drummer, Tom, he writes a lot of lyrics as well. We've been writing music together for years.
It's very interesting, because as I told you earlier, when I listened to the CD, there's some stuff with, like, major seventh chords that almost sounds like the old group America or Bread, and then there's stuff that sounds like Metallica. So you guys really cover a big range, and I hope we're going to jam on a couple of your songs later.
Definitely.
Even though you don't have the singer here. So, how did you get into guitar?
I guess it's really just, you know, eventually came out of a, you know, just kind of a general, you know, passion for music. All that 70s stuff as a kid, I didn't realize how much I really liked it until I got older, and then, you know, I started listening to rock in high school, and I guess when I heard Van Halen and thought guitar was really cool, and then heard AC/DC and said, well, I could probably play that, so let me go get a guitar and an amplifier and a couple of books and take a few lessons. And, you know, once I got started with it, it was just I wanted to learn every AC/DC song. And, you know.
You know, AC/DC is very interesting. You know the club CBGB's?
Mm-hmm.
Well, next door to CBGB's in the next block was a bar called Great Gildersleeves. And that's the bar that AC/DC first played in when they came to America. And I saw them there. And I'm thinking, what's this guy doing in a schoolboy uniform? And with my usual aplomb, I said, this is insane. These guys are never going to make it. What kind of gimmick is this? Wrong again.
The Stadium Kings, AC/DC.
Right, well, but meanwhile, at that point, they were nobody. Mm-hmm. And the Ramones were playing next door, and they had Rocket to Russia. And
so what was that, 70?
It was the late 70s. I mean, it was about the time when Blondie, Talking Heads, Ramones, we're all breaking there, and the next door was this heavy metal hard rock club. But I just remember seeing them and being wrong again.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So the first thing you learned was AC/DC songs?
Yeah, definitely AC/DC, a lot of AC/DC. And I mean, it's easy to play. You know, the AC/DC songs are, you know, are a good starting point, I think, for any guitar player who's, you know, likes rock music. It's got that blues bass to it. You can learn, you know, if you want to play lead guitar, you can learn basic scales and follow your way through those three chord patterns, and, you know, and it starts to really make sense to your music, you know.
I think the great part of that is the rhythm guitar playing.
I do too.
Because when I studied guitar, I studied with a jazz guy, and his whole thing is, well, we're going to learn these complex chords, and you're never going to play an open string, and you're just going to move them all over. Now I play in a three-piece rock band, and I realize you need the... Pete Townsend taught me that lesson. You need the open strings to give you that rock roar.
Yeah. Let it ring open.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what they're masters of.
Yep.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about stalking Sally. You told me a little earlier during the show that you've been together with some of the guys for years and years and years. Who's in the band?
Our drummer is Tom Volkman. I met Tom actually probably 7 or 8 years ago on a Labor Day blues festival jam in somebody's backyard with 200 or 300 people kind of thing. And it was just like, all right, you want to play? Get up, musicians all over the place. And this is, you know, 2 hours upstate. And after we play the night, and I jam a bunch of times with Tom on stage, you know, the next thing you know, we're talking at the end of the night. It's a shame you live so far away, you know, if only to find out that he lives, like, you know, 4 miles from my house.
Wow.
So, you know, he came over basically the next week, and we've pretty much played, you know, every week since. And then he plays ice hockey with our bass player now. I mean, they played street hockey, roller hockey, up the, right on Route 6 by the firehouse. In Mayapak for a while, and found out that he played the bass. He came, I guess, about 6 months after I met Tom. And
his name?
Joe Torino. So Joe, you know, has literally been the three of us, I would say, for the last 7 years. You know, we've gone through a bunch of singers. We made an album with a female vocalist in 2003. There was a band called Melodic Exile. We had, like, a keyboard player, another guitar player, and we had all kinds of effects and sounds going. It was pretty cool. And we played a bunch of local gigs. And then when that kind of split up, you know, the singer had a baby, the guitar player moved to Dallas, and, you know, keyboard player moved on to a different band or whatever. And then we just kind of like, all right, we're going to keep going. And we started playing our own gigs with just the three of us. And we just kept jamming with different people until we found a singer we're comfortable. And now we got a guy, Dizzy, who's from Pennsylvania, has been in New York a couple of years, but he came to see us one night, literally got up on stage with us and started singing that night, and he's been in the band now for the last 2 years.
So it's very interesting because we have your CD here, which is all original tunes. I don't think there's any covers on it.
No.
But yet, when you play live, you do mostly covers. What kind of cover tunes do you do?
We play, you know, I would say, you know, we play everything from, you know, Santana, The Stones, you know, that kind of classic rock stuff, up to Blink-182 and Green Day and U2. And then, you know, I would say our, you know, the stuff we like the most, or as a band, the stuff we like the most and we sound probably the most like is like your early Seattle, early 90s Seattle stuff. All those bands, Soundgarden, Pearl Jam, Stone Temple Pilots.
Do you do Black Hole Sun?
We play Spoon Man.
Oh, okay.
We play Spoon Man live. STP, you know, we're big Alice in Chains, you know, fans.
I got a guy who works with me on drums sometimes plays in Facelift.
Uh-huh, yep. We actually played with those guys in New York City 2 years ago. We not opened for them. It was like a 3 or 4 band thing, and they were the last band. Great, great cover versions of Alice in Chains songs.
Ready to jam a little bit, Matt?
Let's do it.
Okay. Let's turn our stuff on. This is interesting.
Can you be all right there, Rock?
I think so. Yes. I'll be all right.
All right. Remember this person?
What did I do with my pick? Ah, I left it over here. Okay, so why don't you introduce the songs that we're going to be playing?
All right, well, we're not going to sing, but we're going to do a couple instrumental versions of a couple songs from our CD. This first song is called And the lyrics were written by the drummer, Tom, and I wrote this little couple of guitar melodies, but it goes like this.
this reminds me of being a teenager, having a friend come over to the house. Except we've
seen where it goes.
Yeah, but playing eight times too loud and having the neighbors call up. So what's the next one?
The other song is called "Another Mile to Go." It's basically about having a. I wrote the lyrics and the melody to the song, but it's basically about always, seeming like life is always an uphill struggle, but it goes like this. Done that a while.
No, I haven't. Now
all
I know
all this grind about learning songs and practicing them.
Well, I can play all the songs in my repertoire fine, but that was a challenge. Let's talk about the questions that I usually ask people.
Okay.
What CDs would you bring to a desert island? Name four or five.
All right, I would definitely bring an AC/DC album, like a Back in Black, just because I just find them to be. I don't listen to a ton of AC/DC anymore, but I definitely just find them to be just the originators of something that I feel like. Inside, like the kind of music that I would have, started out playing, and I probably still have a feel in the blues, even though I like some heavier rock, and I still like a ton of 70s groovy kind of stuff. But AC/DC is definitely a band that I'd have to bring. I'd have to bring a Van Halen album just because I was completely mesmerized by hearing that, and that even though I was intimidated to the point where I didn't know if I really should start playing guitar, now we cover some Van Halen, which is cool to think, come that far to get to the
which
point.
Which Van Halen tune?
Ain't Talking About Love, we play from the first album.
Some of his songs, like Panama and Hot for Teacher, some of those licks are intense.
Yeah, I mean, you have to just go, underneath all those licks there are some chords, so if you just play the chords and just throw your own kind of stuff in here and there. But other than that, big Alice in Chains guy. As far as like Beatles, and big Abbey Road is definitely one of my favorite albums. Sticky Fingers by the Stones, and I would say Pete Townsend's probably my probably who I consider the greatest musical mind that I've grown up through. Just to see here, like Quadrophenia, I kind of grew up listening to over and over and over, and just being like, wow, to think that all came out of his head is pretty
I heard an interesting thing. Pete Townsend, he was doing some interviews on this latest tour to support the latest Who album, and he was saying that because of John Entwistle, the bass player, he had to really stick to just playing very simple ringing chords, because instead of a lead guitar, he had a lead bass player.
Yeah. No, I mean, and not to mention Keith Moon has got drum beats going on that you're just like, what is that? But and it's
right. So he was kind of the anchor of that band, and mm-hmm. he says now when he tours, he tours with Pino Palladino and I guess Ringo Starr's son. He said it's kind of a different feel. He said I can play a little more lead guitar because everything is...
The rhythm section's a little more straightforward.
but in a way, that's what made him great. The fact that they were out of the ordinary.
They were like an all-star band when you look at those guys. I mean, for that time.
And I think about Back in Black, and, you think about it. What are the odds of your biggest album ever happening right after you've lost your lead singer?
Yeah, it's pretty
intense. Most bands get a new singer, maybe don't do so well. Van Halen did pretty well. Mm-hmm. Who do you like better? First Van Halen, second Van Halen?
First Van Halen, definitely. Not even comparison. I don't know if it's just a lot less, keyboards. It was a different music, the music had a different attitude, and I don't know if that was all because of Dave writing a lot of those melodies with Eddie playing that stuff, or what, or just the introductions of, it's okay, we're going to put a lot of keyboards when Sammy came along. And Sammy was an intense guy, but not, just didn't have the same attitude that you came to know Van Halen as, just this, whoa, what is that, between the scary guitar and some guy kind of, yelling at you like.
But I get what you're saying. It's kind of like... They became more standard. They had a rhythm guitar. They had a guy playing chords and rhythm guitar instead of just being. I personally feel a lot of the greatest rock bands were three-piece bands with a singer.
Mm-hmm.
The Who, Jimi Hendrix, Cream.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also think a lot of the other great bands were great because they had multiple percussionists, like the Doobie Brothers, Santana,
mm-hmm.
Grateful Dead. That's two ways to go. I like the three-piece, and I like the multiple percussion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're going to be playing the Garden. Okay, it's going to be like the concert for Bangladesh. You're going to be able to bring all your favorite people up there. You can do multiple sets, bring different people up per song. Tell me some of the people that you'd bring up.
I'm definitely going to bring up, a couple of rhythm guitar players, Malcolm Young and Pete Townsend, a couple of lead guitar players, Eddie Van Halen, and probably like Joe Satriani. Bass guitar, I'm a big Geddy Lee guy, and obviously a big John Entwistle guy.
And what songs would you play with these people? What tunes could they all play together?
Oh man, that's a rough question. I guess, you know, like we play a version of All on the Watchtower that's like, it's kind of the Dave Matthews arrangement in the beginning, which I don't know if you ever heard it, but it's very slow and kind of not Jimi Hendrix or Bob Dylan-like.
Okay.
And then we sort of go into a Jimi Hendrix version, and then we kind of pull it into like a Led Zeppelin thing at the end where
wow.
It kind of goes, gets heavy. So we pretty much take it from all gamuts. But to me, that's a song that like has so much free range to, it's a three chord progression that, you know, everybody kind of can just go.
Yeah, I like
crazy.
To do that song, but he's got one kind of funk riff in the middle of it where he goes, and it reminds me of Bad Girls by Donna Summer. So I kind of do a Bad Girls arrangement of it. I got it on the funk side.
You can do anything you want with it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's awesome. So name some of the clubs that people can see you at.
We play, we're kind of from Upper Westchester, and we play like on Route 6 in Mayapack at the Clatter. We played up in Mahoney's in Poughkeepsie, which is a great place to play. Burke's down in Yonkers. Dudley's on Neuchâtel is a great place to play in the summertime. We're looking actually now for a place to play in White Plains and probably Stanford.
We talked about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we did.
Thirsty Turtle would be a good place.
We play a pretty wide range. We can play all the modern rock and alternative songs that people like to hear in a bar now and dance to.
Well, I have friends in a band called the Short Bus, and they used to start out playing all the old songs because, you know, they're older guys. Not older guys, mm-hmm. but they're not 25.
Right, exactly.
And they played at this club, Tiernan's, and they went over okay. And they went to the owner and they said, listen, tell us what we need to do to go over better and maybe to get a steady gig here. And he said, well, my audience is, 20 to 25-year-olds. You got to play all contemporary tunes. So they said, well, here's our set list. What should we get rid of? So he just
crossed
out Honky Tonk Woman, Jumpin' Jack Flash, blah, blah, blah. And now they do, they do Blink 182. They do all these groups whose names I don't even know. There's one song I like, Someone's Mother. I can't even remember that one. But anyway, so they're doing all of these new songs, and now they're playing, well, we talked before, they're playing Tiernan's, they're playing Thirsty Turtle, they're playing The Loft. So
we like to do all that stuff too, and then also there's a couple of local places where we can go in and almost play our whole album and get a really good reaction from people local. That gives us a great.
Where is that place?
Like PJ's on Route 6. We go in there a couple of weeks ago. We played there and we literally played the whole album mixed in with some covers, and we just got a phenomenal reaction. And we get the energy of going kind of crazy playing our own stuff, which is always cool.
Matt Murphy, Stalking Sally.
Appreciate your time, Rod. That was great.
It was awesome.
Thanks much. What a jam too. StalkingSally.com.
Good, we're out of here.
All right, cool.